She's a former public school teacher turned stay-at-home mom. He's a talk show host who's made a career covering politics from afar. Now, Christine Stegall and her husband Chris have chosen a new path forward for their child in Christian education. Join them as they explore and experience this important alternative in education for the first time. Welcome to Making the Leap.
I'm of the belief, and I think a lot of my I know a lot of my parents are of the belief that children deserve better. They deserve to learn things outside of the brick and mortar classrooms. Children are unable to sit for 6-7 hours a day and give their attention and to learn passively in a classroom instruction environment. They need to be outside learning entrepreneurship. They need to be outside learning how to care for the animals, how to grow, how to harvest.
Welcome into another episode of Making the Leap. We're so glad you're here with us today. We have a fantastic conversation ahead for you, one that I've been looking forward to for quite
you
some time.
You've told me about this one for a bit.
I talked back in November. I want this.
go check out the Instagram account, you said. So I did, and it's amazing.
It is. It's so great. We are speaking with Danita Miskimmon today, who is with the, I want to make sure I get this right, the Little Red Schoolhouse, which is located Virginia, with the Red Barn Farm out of Virginia. So that was kind of a mouthful, and I wanted to make sure I did that right. Danita, did I do that okay?
Hi, Danita.
You did.
So let's not bury the lead. Yes, she runs and operates a working farm, but it's much more than that, Danita.
Yes.
Tell us a little about your background and what it is you do out there in Virginia.
So we have a 25-acre agritourism farm out here in Dinwiddie County, Virginia, and we started in 2018 opening up for children to come here and see all the animals, to hand feed them, have birthday parties and summer camps. And then it was during that time period that I was teaching in public school and things just kind of went south quickly. And I decided after speaking to God that it was my time to just exit the public school system and to take a leap. It's kind of ironic that I'm on Making the Leap because I took a leap of faith and followed God to open a one-room schoolhouse here in Dinwiddie County.
That's the part that drew me in right away when I was, you know, kind of looking around for people. We have spoken with a mom that also, I called it her one-room schoolhouse. She started a little micro school herself with about 7 people, and that kind of piqued my interest, but I'm a huge fan, and maybe it's cliched, of the Little House on the Prairie books. And when I was reading what you were doing, I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you know, like a current day Little House on the Prairie, but in the year 2023, 2024, this is amazing with what you're doing, because you're combining not just education, the basics, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, but you've got, like you said, you've got your farm that's incorporated into that. And I found that to be amazing, and it has to be such a draw for your families.
It is. I'm of the belief, and I think a lot of my I know a lot of my parents are of the belief that children deserve better. They deserve to learn things outside of the brick and mortar classrooms. Children are unable to sit for 6-7 hours a day and give their attention and to learn passively in a classroom instruction environment. They need to be outside learning entrepreneurship. They need to be outside learning how to care for the animals, how to grow, how to harvest. We're in a time where we need to really be concerned about food security, and that is priority here at the Little Red Schoolhouse. It's actually like 4th on the list. The first on the list, obviously, is God. But, you know, having that food security, knowing how to grow organically, knowing how to harvest, how to preserve. The children preserve their canning, freeze drying, freezing, all sorts of things like that. Things that our grandmothers taught us that is almost an archaic piece of history that we don't even replicate anymore in our homes. We're so used to going out and buying whatever we want. And we know now that our food that we're eating is not the healthiest food that we should be putting in our bodies.
What I know about Danita is she's in the middle of her very busy day. And we told you before the show even started, you've actually got kids running about. You've got a lot going on in your own life. So number one, we're appreciative for the time.
But yes.
First, how many kids? Who have you got running around there? Are they yours? Are there other students? Kind of explain the situation there.
So originally when we made this time, I was going to be meeting with you guys during my lunch, and I had the other teacher here helping. She couldn't come today. And I said, you know, Lord, we're just going to put this in your hands. I have 21 precious children here.
Amen.
Who are like my little kids, and
it.
I'm their school mama, and they listen very well. And they're all sitting around the table right now eating their lunch.
Bless them.
And I'm very proud of them. They're very good children.
What is the age range that you have with your students at your school?
It's 4 years old to fourth grade.
Okay. So elementary, primary age. Do you ever envision going beyond as the kids age? Do you continue, like, do you plan to carry that through fifth grade, sixth grade, and beyond?
So that is a really good question. One that we've often talked about, my husband and myself. At this time, I think that we're just going to stay with what we're doing. We're going to go up a year with every group that we have. We don't want the children to have to leave and to go to another Christian school or to be homeschooled. Sometimes that can be a detriment to their learning. I'm okay with the children staying here until the day that they graduate. That would just make my heart so happy. But I also know that there might come a time where they're going to want to be with more friends. So I'm also open to the possibilities that they will branch off and go to other schools. But for now, we go up a grade every year, and it works for us. The older children help with the younger children, mm-hmm. and the younger children have wonderful, wonderful role models to look up to here at school. We are branching out throughout the United States, and there has been talk about us going to places like the EU, and we're okay with that as well. So while we're looking at other locations for our school to be planted in the United States, we're hoping that the school will primarily just stay elementary. It's hard to find somebody who can teach all those grade levels. In my case, I've taught every single grade level in school and public school. I've taught special education, general education. I've been a reading specialist in administration. So I really felt God really prepared me for this role. I'm not so certain that that would be the same in another school. So I think it's important when we branch out that they kind of just stay at the elementary level. And this is the important age. We're foundation builders here. Mm-hmm. If we can get children in our school between the ages of 3 and 4 or 3 and 5 and begin teaching them the foundations of the Bible, the foundations of Jesus's love, the foundations of writing and reading and arithmetic, that's a game changer in every single child's life. And we want to make certain that when they do, if they do decide to leave, that they have a strong foundation, not necessarily the full armor of God to branch out and to withstand the things that they're seeing in public school, especially here in Virginia, but that they are able to academically soar and they're able to understand where God is in the scheme of things in their life. Boys and girls.
I love it.
Boys and girls.
She's being so generous with her time.
I know.
Boys and girls, look at me, please.
See, look how well behaved too they are.
And then they were silent.
That's amazing. 21 of them. Are any of these yours, Danita, or are they kids from the community?
No. I had 5. I raised my 5. They're now grown and they have children of their own. We're expecting our 8th grandchild in the next few weeks. So,
are they following
exciting.
Your lead on this? Is this interesting to them as parents?
Oh, you're going to make me cry. So, my middle daughter, my oldest daughter, actually, she is a teacher in Chesapeake, Virginia. And I have explained to her the need for her to come and help me, especially as we're growing and planting schools across the United States. And she has offered to come aboard and help me be the face of the Little Red Schoolhouse. And she will actually be the one flying throughout the United States to make sure that the schools are successful and they have the support that they need to continue doing what they're doing, which is, you know, the same mission that we have here, to be a light in this world and to teach children how to love God and to know all their academics and also to have great food security as they grow up.
When you are thinking about taking this beyond, you know, outside your four walls, literally, and moving it out, is that something that you are just doing solo on your own, having your daughter come on board? Do you have a board of people with you? Do you have a team? I'm curious about your setup, I guess, sort of administratively, but just kind of as you push out beyond just where you are in Virginia.
Yeah, I'll throw in there, too, as people listen to this conversation, Danita, and they're thinking, hey, I really like this model. How do I get in on it? Or is it they volunteer their own land, their own farm? How does it work?
So we thought a lot about that. I think one of the beautiful aspects that we have here that you don't typically see at another Christian school, we don't stay within the four walls of our school.
Right.
And at other locations, the children are confined to brick and mortar all day long. Yes, they might go outside for recess, but it's just playtime. Children here, we have a beautiful pond. We have a beaver dam at another nearby pond that we walk to. We have woods that we can take hikes in and look at all the different habitats instead of reading about that in a book. We have raised bed gardens that we grow here. We grow our own food. We harvest it. We eat it. They've also learned how to preserve that. They know how to take seed from plants and have that available for the following year, which is so important when you're thinking about your own food security. Mm-hmm. So these are things that we have available here. Anything less than that would really just be another brick and mortar building. And while you can have a good Christian school in a brick and mortar building, it's the other half of the day that mm-hmm. just changes children. They are able to go outside and have meaningful time. They're working on their work ethics and responsibility. They're learning how to work together in the barn, outside in the barnyard, mm-hmm. taking care of the animals, grooming them, how to safely walk horses and turn them out into the round pen or to take them out into the field. They're just learning so many valuable skills that you can't learn if you're not on a farm. So I think part of the prerequisites are going to be that either the children attend school on like a homestead like we are or a farm, or they have the ability to get in maybe a bus, which could be a little hard logistically, and drive over to another location. But ideally, the place would have where the school would be. It would have the ability to work half of the day on the homestead or the farm, because those are the skills that the children are learning. So, they make butter here.
That's what I was going to ask you, because if you don't mind me being a little personal, only because we had this conversation before we started recording the show. Are your kids aware of the story you just shared with us that one of the pigs on your farm has gotten into some poison by accident, and now you're watching to see how the pig is going to do over the next 5 days? Are your kids aware of that story? Is that something that they learn too? I mean, it's touching, and we pray that it goes well, but is this something the kids should know or not? I'm just curious. It's part of farm life, I guess.
We've had a long discussion this morning about this. One of the children wanted to incubate pheasant eggs, and I told them we didn't need any pheasant eggs. But at the same time, I understand the excitement of incubating pheasants and having new pheasants running around the farm. So I told them to go out into the barn and see if there was an available incubator, thinking that I just had one and it was already in use in the school. Well, they claimed that they knew where an incubator was. So they went out looking for it, and they climbed up on the stepladder to get the incubator. My older children did. And they came back with it. But what had happened inadvertently is they had opened, probably with their coat or maybe the coat or the jacket sleeve, one of the doors that had all of our mouse poisoning in it. And it's up high, away from children, away from animals. And one of the bags had fallen onto the ground. And so when I went out yesterday to check on the animals, I saw that one of our precious pigs, our pig Bacon Bit, was eating an empty bag of food poisoning. And so I called the vet, called the poison center. Long story short, she had to have immediate medical care. She is coming back today, and she will not be in the clear for 5 days. So it takes that long for anyone to know whether or not the animal's going to live. I mean, she could definitely need to be euthanized if she has any of the issues associated with being poisoning or being poisoned. So when I spoke to the children today, we prayed. I told them that the vet said that she could come home today. One of my dads is going to pick up the pig today at the vet's hospital and bring her back here before school lets out. I did tell the children that we needed to pray, and we did. We prayed for the pig, but let me tell you, God is working here in a mighty way. Children, could you go over there and ask them just to thank you? So a couple months ago, we had a rogue bull in our area jump over our pasture fence and mount our 350-pound mini cow.
Oh, my.
She's tiny. When I say mini, she's the height of like 3 feet high. So he mounted her and tore her up, and she needed emergency care immediately. Well, she passed out on the barn floor, and with two dads there trying to help me get her into a trailer so that she could get that medical care that she needed. She was bleeding so fast. I knew she was going to die. And I looked at her and I looked to heaven and I said, God, I went down, laid my hands on her. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I need you to stand up and I need you to not die here in front of these children. This will be too hard for them. So I need you to stand up in the name of Jesus. Just please stand up. I said, God, please just raise her up and get her into that trailer so she can be healed. What I was praying for was for my cow. But my prayer ended up being a witness to the children. They were able to see the mighty power of prayer and how when you put your whole heart into it, how it can change a situation on a dime. And they've not forgotten that. In fact, they recounted it today, stating that if we prayed together again, she would be healed. So when the vet said she could come home today, he said, but she's not out of the woods. I said, I respect what you're saying, but I also need you to know that we serve a mighty God, and we've already prayed in existence and claim that she's going to be healed and she's going to be fine. So that's where we stand as a group here in the school.
And let's just be frank, none of this, everything you just said, which was a remarkable, beautiful story, for 1,000 reasons, that would never have happened in the public school you were teaching.
Oh, gosh, no, never. I would have been fired. In fact, before I left, they were wanting me to refer to a young lady with male pronouns, and I stated to administration, who is a Christian? And I said, you are a Christian just like I am. Why are you asking me to do this? Mm-hmm. And she said, because it's offensive to this young man. She had to look up at the sky because she couldn't remember if it was a young man or a young woman. Mm-hmm. And I said, at the end of the day, we both serve one master. There's only good and evil in this world. You can't placate the system. You go draw your line in the sand and you stand there proudly knowing that you're standing on the word of God. I said, I refuse to ever call a child anything except what's in the system. I refuse to refer to a child anything but God's pronouns that were given to this child. And I said, if you think that I'm going to change that, you're sadly mistaken. And you cannot force me because there's been case law already out of Loudoun County, Virginia. Mm-hmm. She said, I know, but we were just hoping. And I said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that. Not now, not ever. And I handed in my resignation. I said, actually, this is a good time to give you my resignation. And she said, you're resigning. And I said, yes. She says, over this. And I said, oh, no. There's a lot of things I'm resigning over. But my values and my beliefs do not align with public schools. And I cannot be here anymore because my spirit is like a volcano. It is so upset when I come in here and see all that I'm seeing. Bats, cats, LGBTQ, all the craziness inside the school. I said, I just can't do this anymore. I just ain't normal.
Yeah, when you say bats and cats, you don't mean the ones on your farm. You mean kids that think they are.
Right.
Or pretend they are.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The ones that don't talk to you, they just make noises.
I find that stunning. I was in public education. I left just to stay home with my kids, and it was not that, and that wasn't that long ago, and the change that has happened just within a 15 to 16 year window. Not that there weren't things happening, but just this dramatic big shift. I always wonder what I would do and where my line is, or where my line would have been as a teacher, as a parent, that kind of thing, if it had gotten to that point. And I respect fully you knew your line and you researched, and it wasn't like a knee jerk. You probably tried, I would guess, to hang in there a little bit, but it gets untenable at some point.
That's a great question too, Danita. Could I ask then, how about your colleagues? I'm sure you have friends who are still public school teachers. Christine was one. My mother was one for 30 years, different time though, of course. There are a lot of good people who really want to do right and honor God in their lives, but you know, maybe they feel like they're waiting for that pension or whatever. What would you say to teachers who just know they're in an unholy land, so to speak, like you felt?
You know, I've had a lot of conversations with my colleagues who claim to be Christian, and I'm not here to be your judge or jury, but I am going to tell you what the Bible says, And I have told them several times, you have to make a choice. Either stand up for what is right, or you continue to placate a system for your paycheck. To me, that's not worth it. Because when I stand before God, I really want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to question me because I placated a system and didn't have enough faith to step out and do what was right. I told these teachers, you can build a school just like this. Step out in faith. Believe that God is going to be there for you. God wants his children to be protected. That's our job. They're the most vulnerable. They are not protected anymore. Almost every single child, except for mine here at the school, walk around with a cellular device in their hands. Mm-hmm. They have access to the internet all day long. My colleagues are still reaching out to me and telling me about all the pornography that they have in school, in the library, what kids are showing on their phones, what they're pulling up on their Chromebooks. It's Sodom and Gomorrah all over. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. We're 0.3 miles off the road. We live underneath God's beautiful blue skies and sunshine. The kids are outside in the country air. They're with animals. They're getting all the science that they need. They are all reading above grade level. They all complete math above grade level. It is amazing what we're able to do here. And we give all that power and that grace and that love to God. It's all through God that we're able to do this. None of this is because of anything we've done. This is because this is what God wanted. When I stood in public school one day, I remember distinctively coming home, and I went out into my hay field. I think I even sent this to you all. I fell to my knees, and I looked at God up to heaven, and I said, I can't do this anymore. I said, we have a choice to make. You made me to be a teacher. I was born to do this job. But if I stay in public school and I wait for my retirement, I'm going to be sick every Sunday before I go to school, and I'm going to dread every single day being there. It's going to wear me down. Or we could build another school here at the farm, and we could teach all the children about you. What a wonderful idea. And I said, God, please help me. Please just help me. I want to teach your children. I do not want to do this job anymore. And then before I knew it, every single door flew wide open. Now, that's not to say that we didn't have hurdles to cross. We did. But that was a different story. God, through the journey of building the school, was also teaching me how to wait on him. I did not know how to wait on God. I didn't know how to put something at his feet and walk away. I thought I did, but I learned that lesson hard and fast in the building of the school. And as the school's general contractor, I kind of think God had a little bit of a sense of humor there. I fell into so many roles that I never anticipated I would ever be in. And it's all because of God. And all the heartache, all the trials that we went through, the difficult times that we had with the county getting plans approved and some of the crazy requirements that they had for us, but they didn't have for our tourism business. I kept asking God, why? But now that I'm here, building the administration manual for other schools to be built across the United States. And I'm going through that 9 to 10 pages of table of contents to build this out and to share with new school owners what to do and what not to do. I'm like, I get it. I now know why you made me go through this, because you had a different plan. You knew all along that this wasn't just going to be the little red schoolhouse at the Red Barn Farm. You had another plan. In fact, I'll share with you this. In September, I was walking over from the farmhouse to the school, and I came into the school and I said, hey, God, I said, I just want to ask you a question. I said, I don't mean any disrespect, but like, are we at the pinnacle? Have we arrived? Is this all that you want from me? Because if it is, I'm so grateful and I'm so happy. And I will serve you until the day I die. Hopefully, I'll be teaching until I'm 95. But if there's more that you want, I need to know. Because I feel that something's missing, but like I'm not ungrateful. And then as soon as I said that prayer and I had that conversation with him, doors just flew wide open. He asked me one day to make a video. The Holy Spirit woke me up at 3:00 and said, could you make a video on what a typical school day looks like at the Little Red Schoolhouse? And I hummed and hawed because the app kept breaking on me. And then the Holy Spirit just said, be patient. Just be patient and create the video. And I did. I created the video, walked away. I went back a few hours later, and it was clear the video was going to go viral. Over 4 million people are seeing the video.
Wow.
And I'm through that and other videos that we've created. we received quite a following of people mm-hmm. across the United States who agreed this is what their children need. They need to get out of public schools and be in a school where they're learning about Jesus, where they grow to love him wildly, and they know how to live on their own, how to have food security, how to get along with one another without technology. And so here we are, and it's all because of God. All Amen. Because of God. I'm so grateful.
That's amazing.
I think what we'll do, too, is tack that video into this show, all right? When we're done with this conversation, we'll put that video in the show so that people can hear it or see it if they have not yet.
This is a good way to just kind of introduce what you're doing and what you're about, I would think.
Since 4 million people have seen it, I feel like everybody else should, too, if they haven't for some reason.
Perfect.
So, Danita, your parents, we'll let you go because I know you're swamped with kids today and you're so sweet to give us your time in the middle of your school day. The parents and the kids, where do they come from? And if I may, just because I'm a dad and I think this way, people are, I'm sure, kind of curious. How have you arrived at administration costs, administrative, like operating? You have to think of margins, I assume, to a degree. I know this is your ministry, but as we know, it's you can't give it away. How have you arrived at your kind of cost structure and things like that?
Oh, if I could, I would. I'd give it all away.
Yeah,
I have one student who wasn't able to afford it this year, and I found a way to make that happen, but the parent had a little bit too much pride and didn't want that to happen and made my heart so sad. But it's $6,000 a child to come to school.
Okay.
And that pays for, I don't take a salary. I haven't taken a salary at all from the school. That pays for the teacher. It pays for all the books, all the curriculum, all the consumables, all their field trips. It pays all the administrative costs and the things that we have to do, like insurance, all these things that we have to do. And the parents that come here, some of them go to church. Some of them don't know Jesus. And some of them told me right up front, I don't go to church. My child doesn't go to church either. I was like, well, there's my ministry. There's my mission field. Because in my heart, I knew I'm going to teach your child all about Jesus. I'm going to teach your child to love Jesus and to pray. And your child's going to go home and inadvertently teach you about Jesus. And now the parents are coming and asking questions about Jesus and talking about attending a church. Where should they go? And so it's beautiful how things just unfold. And at the end of the day, you know, this is my mission field. Some people get a passport and they go to beautiful blue waters and warm skies. And I'm just in Dinwiddie County, Virginia, on a farm, and I'm very happy. And this is my mission field. Every time the school doors are open, or every time a guest comes to the farm to see the farm, that's our ministry. And we hope to be a light in the world and to teach God's children, his little bitty vulnerable children, about the good things in this world and protect their innocence as long as we can. And hopefully they'll grow up and pay that forward with their children and other people's children as well.
You have really shared just some amazing testimony today. I think that's something that we have learned kind of from doing this podcast is we don't always know, you know, how things are going to go with the conversations. But what I've heard you say throughout is just that laying of that trust in God to just kind of direct your path. And I think if anything that parents can take from this today, maybe they don't have a farm, maybe they don't have, you know, the pond that you have, but they have something that they can offer and take to their kids. So Danita, we just so appreciate you sharing that today. We will definitely link things down below.
You bet.
We will share the information that we have here on you and what you've done, link some of these articles, things where you've been featured. And again, I just so appreciate your time today. It's just been a blessing.
It sure has. Danita, thanks for your passion.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a blessed day. It's been
Thank
a
you,
pleasure speaking with you
so much. You too as well. There was a lot in that conversation today. I think there's a lot to be gained just going through like some of the social media things. It's an interesting, I don't know what the word is. It's an interesting contrast. You know, you want to keep your kids away from the social media angle of things that are not good, but yet this is something where I think social media is helpful and it's playing into what she's doing. And I think that's helpful for parents to go and see, because this is not a traditional, even a traditional micro school type thing. She has a whole vision of outside, living life, doing life that is not just about a textbook and paper and pencil. And I think that was just an interesting contrast, something that we don't have time to have all those conversations with.
Yeah, I mean, for people that didn't grow up around farms and agricultural communities, it may seem strange, but I was struck by the conversation we were having with her. The reason I brought it up, I debated even bringing it up. I didn't mean to embarrass her, and I think she doesn't get embarrassed probably.
Right.
But when she told us that story about her pig getting mm-hmm. into the poison, I thought to myself, well, that's a classroom lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, most kids don't get to
right.
grow up around livestock, never mind see
right.
how they may be wounded, injured, maybe die. I mean, these are things most kids don't see. I mean, that unto itself is not a traditional classroom lesson, but it's a lesson nonetheless.
And it takes you into all kinds of areas. I mean, you talk about compassion, which is just that empathetic feeling, the science of it, the reality of it. That's a
power
lot.
Prayer. How about the kids saw the power of prayer?
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
It's a lot. And it's also, again, why I think it's so important that we talk about a lot of these different options, because they are not for everybody, but there is something for everybody. You know what I mean? So I think that's incredible.
I know how much you'd wanted to find her and talk with her. You've been talking about her for months.
I just thought the farm itself, I mean, you know, I always loved taking the kids when they were little. I love doing all those activities. I think it's something that we've talked about my sister a lot when I watch what she does with the kids outside. I'm just a huge advocate. I'm the one that doesn't mind the snow and doesn't mind the weather and doesn't mind all of that. So I am drawn to that. And I think I'm sure there are others that have options. Think about all the places across the country that have access to farms, fields, space areas that they can do these kinds of things with. So you can find it at, the organization of the farm is the Red Barn Farm VA at gmail.com. We'll link that below. But it is the Little Red Schoolhouse. That is the name of her location.
We will see you next week on Making the Leap.
Making the Leap is a podcast presentation courtesy of the Herzog Foundation. Please rate and comment on the show, as well as subscribe so you never miss an episode. And we'll see you next time on Making the Leap.